This is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail, we'll be busy.
Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte, Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, the round table. We got Vlad Louis Sant with us. He's riding high off the Jets' three-game winning streak after being 1-7. Completely
Stop
meaningless.
Looking at me. I'm not betting with you anymore.
Hey, man, I just know if you're feeling comfortable, like, what's up, you know?
I'm not betting with you no more.
Man, you know, I already went through the first two bottles. I'm just waiting on my third one.
Here's what you got to do, Monroe. You got to give one. Like, you got to, like, fake one. Like, oh, yeah, I think the Jets are going to lose this one. Yeah.
Hell nah.
He doesn't want to bet with you anymore.
By the way, Vlad, I love the clapback from Jamal Adams, that Derek Carr's older brother.
Oh,
that
was awesome. Against the president, man.
Listen, that was golden, man.
Leave the president
that
alone.
Was golden. That
wait, was that the one that you sent me?
Yeah.
That was Derek Carr's brother?
You had a gym teach, gym class to teach.
Yeah, man.
That was classic.
Oh, man.
Leave President Adams alone,
man. Oh, man.
Leave them all alone, man.
Anyways, you guys want to text in the show, 67974. Before we get to that, back into that conversation we were having like 4 years ago, let's get to our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Not a lot of headlines here. The Heat, looks like they're going to have Justice Winslow for tomorrow's game against the Houston Rockets. We're not sure about Jimmy Butler or James Johnson, who both traveled with the team. But also the Heat are set to release new Vice jerseys, and that's all I'm going to talk about it, because he did not give me any, so that's it.
Hey, I'm with you, man.
I'm with you.
Well, yeah, let's,
we ain't got nothing,
I mean,
bro.
We covered the team.
Let's, yeah. Exactly my point, Vlad. Like, I'm texting Amber today. I'm like, I'm 99% sure there's not a jersey waiting for me there, right? Uh-huh. And she goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's not. And I said, yeah, I'm only, like, the second most important person at the radio station who is affiliated with the Miami Heat, other than Zaslow, who, like, does all the pre- and post-game shows for them. Uh-huh. But, you know, Brendan Tobin got a jersey. I'm sure, you know, Leroy. Robbie and Leroy got a jersey. I'm not 100% sure about those guys yet. Amber got one. Zaslow got one. Steven Preciado got one, the producer of the morning
Steven.
Show. Oh, I'm like, okay. Not the guy who also hosts on the station.
Uh-huh.
Has his name in the Heat guide.
Yeah.
But also covers the team. Okay, all right, cool. Just
Hold on. Your name's in the Heat guide?
Yeah, they have like a list of all
Look
the shows
you,
on 790
man.
The Ticket. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, "Whoa, that's so cool."
Actually, it's not.
Oh, wow.
I'm messing with you, man. I'm messing with you.
The difference is,
I'm messing with you, man.
The difference
it's
is you got to know the dude that hooked them up.
That is true.
Thing. Whoever that guy they tagged,
light-skinned
dude,
Amber's like, get to know this guy. Suck up to him. I'm like, no.
Suck up? No, not
no,
say
like,
all that.
I do a good job, and I do a lot of hard work. I don't need to suck up to anybody. If that's what it takes to get a jersey, then no.
We all know that's what Amber does. Come on now.
I'm hosting with Amber tomorrow.
Listen, you know why? Because
I'm hosting the whole next week with her.
Listen, you know why? Because I'm very sarcastic, and you know my mouth almost slipped there. So I was gonna say something very funny, but it was gonna be a little inappropriate.
Okay, you there you go. Mean? Now, so,
good job holding back and then telling everybody what you had in mind. Is there any other headlines?
Yeah.
What, Mason Rudolph's not going to start?
College football rankings?
Oh, thank you. Ohio State.
Come
on. Now the new number one.
Yeah,
you got to be kidding me, bro.
That's bad.
That's terrible.
Horrible.
You're literally telling college football teams for moving forward, don't schedule a hard schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and beat up on every weak team on your schedule, and then you play one ranked team. Oh, yeah, you're going to be number one because of the looks. You're kidding. The LSU team did something that hasn't happened since 1987. That's beating four top 10 teams.
Uh-huh.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. You have the receiver in the top three in the Bednarik Award. I mean, mm-hmm. Biletnikoff. Then you have the Heisman. Pretty much a Heisman front runner right
Correct.
Now. And you're telling me that this isn't the best team that's beaten four top 10 teams?
Yeah.
You
no,
gotta be kidding me.
Listen, listen, Brian, I am with you all the way.
Unbelievable.
Like, I'm confused.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Again, schedule cupcakes. That's what you should do. You should schedule cupcakes. That's all you should do, because who have they beaten? Oh, a Michigan State team is ranked 25 at the time, and then Wisconsin, who's we all know is not a great team. They just did it forever. And now you just beat your first top 10 team that you were favored by 18.5,
mm-hmm.
that ballooned up to 20.5, and you beat them by 9.
Yeah.
So imagine if you played four top 10 teams, what you would look like.
True.
Oh, that's right. LSU did that, and they won them all.
Mm-hmm.
Woosa. Okay, I'm done venting. Go ahead.
It's okay. There's no other headlines, really.
So. Garbage.
Yeah, man. Look, we were talking about it, I don't know, what, 20 minutes ago? About this whole Miami Dolphin expectation thing. Rashad got heated.
I did.
He wanted to go on a profanity-laced tirade, but he held back.
Uh-huh.
He held back, right? Then we went to break, then he did not hold back.
Mm-mm.
But I don't know, like, expectations for the Miami Dolphins. I don't think Steven, like, okay.
7-9.
If the Dolphins went 2-14, we have a problem next year, right? Like, we have a problem.
Okay, but let me, you know what? I talked to Vlad. Vlad brought up a good point. Vlad said, what if the Dolphins go 4-12 this year?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mean to tell me you think this fan base will accept 5-11 next year after going 4-12 this year?
But here's the thing.
I think a lot of it is the narrative, too.
You were expecting to get Tua as your signal caller, a healthy Tua. Now we're talking about we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It might be Ryan Fitzpatrick again.
With
Tua rehabbing.
True, but again, with all that money, with all those assets in the draft, if the Dolphins go 4-12, like at least 4-12 this year, and you go like 5-11 next year, like that.
But here's the thing. The fan base is going to look and go, listen, we got Tua. He's going to come back healthy. We got a right. We got a left tackle. We got a receiver. We got the whole nine. Once we got our signal caller down and they understand this concept, we got this in 2021.
Because look.
Here's the thing. Here's what you got to look at.
I'm hearing you.
Next year, you're talking about you got your division.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we got the Patriots that are still big dog.
Uh-huh.
The Buffalo Bills have taken a huge leap.
Uh-huh.
Can they sustain it? We don't know. The Jets, are they going to stay healthy? Because that's a different team when they're healthy.
Uh-huh.
Fine. Let's just say you go ahead and win. How many do you think you win out of those six? What do you think?
Two or three.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, look at this out-of-conference schedule. So, we're talking about NFC West.
Uh-huh.
NFC, AFC West.
Uh-huh.
So, now we're talking about the 49ers who look like they're beaters right
Correct.
Now. You got the Oakland Raiders who no one thought they would be where they're at right now, going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Then you got the Chiefs, the Chargers, when they get healthy, they're disgusting. The Rams, the Seattle Seahawks.
But hold on. With the Chargers, they probably won't have Melvin Gordon or Austin Ekeler next year.
They
That's a big difference.
They still whooped that ass early this season.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're going to have a healthy defense.
Okay.
But like, you're going to get Derwin James back. You're going to get the other safety back.
But offensively, I mean, you're going to only have Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry because, again, Melvin Gordon, he probably won't be there.
It's a lot to assume both of these things.
True.
But that's still a very – that's a good team win.
Yeah.
It's a solid team.
It's
no Denver Broncos.
You better get a defensive end.
That's your two easiest games, the Denver Broncos and the Arizona Cardinals.
Man, listen, again, I hear you, but if this team happens to go 4-12 – 5-11 ain't gonna cut it next year. It's not. It ain't, boss.
I don't see the Dolphins going 4-12 this year.
Because look,
okay, well, 3-13.
If the Dolphins win one more game,
they're gonna win another game.
Hold on. 3-13 this year compared to 5-11 next year ain't gonna cut it, B. It's not.
Who's B?
It's the same.
Yeah. It ain't gonna cut it, man. It's just
not. Go ahead, say it.
It's not gonna cut it, man. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Bet.
Okay, you go, like bet. That. You like that? At least you know that bet. Part. That's what I'm talking about.
I got that from Monroe.
Yeah. Bet that up, baby.
I got that from Monroe, man.
And listen, here's the problem. They're going to win another game.
Listen,
they're going to win another game.
I just think – I'll say this real quick, and I'll let you guys go for it. I just said that I think that they're going to need to have at least a +4 to +5 win difference next year compared to this year.
Well, if they win 3 games, +4, that means it's 7 games.
Okay.
But here's the thing, guys. If they do draft Tua, right, and they redshirt him, like you said, they can. I understand what Rashad is saying. The Cincinnati Bengals did the same, almost a similar exact same thing. They didn't. I mean, it wasn't because Carson was injured, but they made sure he didn't play that season. And John Kitna played. They went 8-8.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, I get what you're saying, but I'm saying the expectation of the fans if Tua is sitting. And you get the other pieces to go around it, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is your guy, and he wins 6 games, 6-10. The fan base is at least going to say, if Ryan Fitzpatrick with this team can win 6 games, once we get Tua, We're winning 8, 9, 10.
That's what Cincinnati thought. And that when they put put Carson Palmer, and then Carson Palmer, you know, became the quarterback. They won the division. Obviously he got his knee hurt. But you could use that model. You could use that model for the Dolphins as that, look, we get better. Because Flores, this is his second season. His foundation has been set. His ideas, the way he wants to run the organization is set. So these guys that they're bringing in are just guys just to add and further this foundation. So I can understand, like, hey, if you win 4 games this season, you spend money, you make some good, solid draft picks, you're expecting at least, I mean, I can understand 3. I don't know about 4 or 5, though.
I don't see
sure.
No 4. No way.
I can understand 3. Because if they're 4-12, or even if they're 3-13,
I mean,
they
do
finish
play the Jets again.
6-10 or 7-9.
They do play the Jets again.
You're not beating us,
B. Wait, y'all got a bet, though, right?
Yeah, we do.
So the bet originally, for people that don't know.
I'm included in this one.
You said the Dolphins would beat the Jets twice.
Uh-huh.
And now it comes down to it that they have the chance to beat them twice in 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Who would have thought that, Vlad?
Now at the time the bet was made, I said I think they'll beat them once.
Well, you did say that.
And you said no way in hell.
I don't think no. Well,
Vlad was like, Vlad was like, you're gonna lose 3 times to the Jets.
I think to get swept by the Dolphins twice. No, there's no way.
Oh man.
Okay.
That is one lunch bill. I would be so happy. Although I would be.
Oh,
listen,
it's gonna be a great lunch.
Here's the thing, though.
Regardless,
if the Dolphins win a third game, and we let's get into this right now. Dolphins win a third game, I'm gonna be upset. Because they're gonna put. You heard Beasley there.
I can't even ask this.
12 teams have 7 losses or more. Dolphins are gonna put themselves in a flurry of teams right now. And look, again, I know this thing will settle itself out eventually.
True.
But you've got the Broncos with 3 wins. Uh-huh. The Falcons with 3 wins.
Correct.
The Lions with 3 wins. The Cardinals with, now those 2 teams have a tie.
Yeah, those 3 teams that you just mentioned have quarterbacks.
Again, but like that's another opportunity for another team to trade up in front of them. Like you need to be in the top 2. You need to be in the top 2.
But to me, it just depends on how much are you in love with Tua.
And the injury.
Or Chase Young.
Because at the end of the day, I feel like if you are head over heels over Chase. Tua, you take Tua. You take
Young.
Your quarterback.
Give me Chase Young.
Now, I understand the scenarios that Beasley said. You know, you draft Chase Young, and then, you know, you trade, I guess, the back end of your first round pick and maybe another second round pick to get back in the top 10 to take Tua. And I understand that.
Give
all
it to me.
Listen, that all sounds good, but we know it just doesn't happen like that on draft day.
Never. Nothing happens the way you think it's going to happen.
It never happens that easily. So I feel like, listen, if Tua's your guy, if you are head over heels about this guy, just take the damn kid. Take him.
Give me Chase.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm taking him in my top 4.
Give me Chase.
No way.
Yo, you see that? The schedule you just mentioned, they got to go against Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray,
Patrick Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget Mr. G out there with the 49ers, too.
Oh, and Jimmy G.
And they got to go to the Raiders. And you got to go against the Raiders, too.
But I'm saying, you got mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, two times a year. Josh Allen, 2 times a year.
Yeah, that's 5 games where you got mobile quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a fun schedule.
Not easy.
No. But listen, the Dolphins can win 1 to 2 more games this year because you're talking about Cincinnati. In a row, Jets, Giants, Bengals, and who knows where the Patriots are going to be that last game because have everything locked up.
No. They're going to be playing because Ravens are still a game behind the Patriots.
And you know the Ravens schedule that's coming up right now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they go to the 49ers, then
they got
the Saints.
49ers come to them.
Correct.
Well, Saints, it doesn't make it if you're playing the 49ers and the Saints at back-to-back weeks. Everything can change.
True.
Well, I mean, the Patriots have the Texans and Chiefs in the next 2 weeks.
Correct.
Yeah.
They do.
The Saints.
So,
the Niners are playing the Saints?
Yeah, it's not the Ravens.
Yeah.
Ravens only have 2 tough games.
The Patriots have the Texans and Chiefs the next 2 weeks.
Correct. They do.
That's a tough schedule.
I think so.
The Texans, man, listen.
Well, it's in Houston.
Hold on.
That's a tough game.
They're 7-4,
like,
my man.
It's not the Denver Broncos, bro.
No,
like,
disrespect to you. I know that's your former squad.
I'm just being
Bill
real.
Bill O'Brien versus Bill Belichick.
Exactly. I hear you, but again.
That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a tough game, man.
Have you watched the Patriots lately?
Yeah, like they have no offense.
The defense has been outstanding, but the offense is like,
let me ask you this. When they put Steph Gilmore on D-Hop.
But
still got Will Fuller on the other side.
But hold on,
act like he didn't just have 100 and something yards.
Okay, but hold on. I'm not trying to compare Deshaun Watson to Lamar Jackson, but we saw Bill Belichick have no answer for Lamar Jackson. Now Deshaun Watson,
he's seen him before.
Okay. He has, but again, I'm sure Bill O'Brien's going to look at
I mean, he saw Eli Manning before.
That's true.
I'm not blaming Belichick on those
Mike
losses.
Drops.
I'm
Mike
not
drops.
Blaming those losses on Belichick.
But listen, I agree with Brian. That game's going to be a tough game because Tom Brady and that offense just they're not the same offense that we've seen in years past.
But listen,
so
the Patriots could run the ball 50 times against the Dolphins. They'll still win that game.
Yes, they will.
The Dolphins are 200 yards a game on the ground.
But yeah, Miami, last game of the season, going up to New England.
No way they win that game. I'm not worried about that game at all. I'm worried about one game, Cincinnati.
What if Stidham's in that game and stuff
whoa,
Rose is going to be in that game.
So, hold on.
Drop the bike.
Okay. So, if Fitzpatrick plays the stretch of the Jets.
See, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
listen,
Beasley just said that.
Listen, I don't care what Beasley says. Okay? Like, stop it. Like, he is not like like the god of us, okay?
He's not the Dolphin whisper.
Oh, Beasley.
I'm just saying, for the sake of our argument, if Fitzpatrick plays those three game stretch, you do not believe he can at least win two out of those three.
Which are the three again?
Jets, Giants, and Bengals. If he plays
no,
that three
I think
game
the Dolphins
stretch.
Only win one. I don't think the Dolphins are winning.
They can beat the Giants.
Yeah,
exactly.
They can beat the Bengals and the Giants.
I'm sorry, the Giants, they're just going to hand it off to Saquon.
Have you seen the Giants lately?
Yeah. Giants
haven't been doing nothing.
Yeah, but the Dolphins have the worst rush defense by light years.
I hear you.
By light years.
Bro, his high ankle sprain is not going to be healing up that quick. Listen, Saquon is banged up. He's just
and at the same time, I'm not worried about the Giants. At the same time, they're decimated with injuries.
So are the Dolphins. More than any other team.
Listen, like,
can you name me their secondary? Go.
Listen.
Name me their
Nick Needham.
Okay.
Ooh. Ryan Lewis.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's true.
Jamal Wiltz.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Do we
know this? Like, does anybody know?
Stephen Parker.
Does anybody know?
Secondary, man.
Does anybody know?
I got you. Drop the mic on that one.
On come on now.
Does anybody know?
Yes, man.
Does anybody know? Does anybody know?
Listen,
drop the mic.
Now, I will admit, they are a bunch of no-names.
Needham, Eric Rowe, Stephen Parker, Jamal Wiltz.
So you got three and four?
Yeah, I didn't name Eric Rowe. I forgot about Eric Rowe. That's the most obvious.
Guy.
Yeah.
I was going to say we're missing one person because the Dolphins, three of their four starting secondary are on IR right now.
I believe this.
That
was amazing.
Thank you.
I'll
say this.
I don't think I would have been with – maybe with like 2 minutes to think about it, but not with like the pressure cooker of the question me. Like, good job, Rashad.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick happens to start that three game stretch, I believe he can at least beat the Giants and the Bengals. But I'll give it to you, Vlad. The way the Jets are playing right now, I don't think the Dolphins can beat the Jets anymore. The way the Jets are playing right now, now everything can change.
Plus,
in
the Jets
a week
technically
or so.
Still have something to play for.
Yeah,
so.
But. If he plays,
I use air quotes for those who didn't see.
But if he plays that three game stretch, I believe they can beat the Giants and the Bengals. Now, if Rosen plays that three game stretch, then you may be right. Maybe one out of three, and they may not even win
They're not winning anything with Josh Rosen.
There you go.
Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I know this team is 2-8. That dude's a team MVP.
No, Devontae Parker. I'm sorry, I got
to.
I think that is due to
Ryan Fitzpatrick, though.
Listen, I think Devontae Parker, for once in his entire career, I think he really just said, you know what, this offseason I'm going to commit myself to football.
I don't agree, because like Ryan Fitzpatrick is just taking hit after hit after hit.
Bro. Listen, he is, man, but what Devontae Parker has done so far this year, listen, I'll say this.
Like 44
catches. No, stop it.
He leads the AFC, he leads the division
exactly,
in receiving.
Exactly.
Not over John Brown.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
He's
number one in the AFC.
He does.
East.
Wow.
Listen, I'm just going to say this.
With 44 catches?
I'm telling you.
Jesus.
Listen, we knew what Ryan Fitzpatrick, who he was and what he could possibly do coming into this season. We didn't know this about Devontae Parker. Like, we've seen flashes, but it hasn't been consistent.
But that doesn't make you an MVP.
Well, the team is different.
Right. It doesn't make you a team MVP.
It has to this year, though.
Why? Because you've been healthy all 11 games and you're averaging 4 yards a game. Like,
he's balling out, Zach.
He's having a solid year.
Zach, listen, if I asked, if I asked the average fan that watched the Dolphins, who is the team MVP alone on offense, they're going to say Devontae Parker.
67974
over Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're going to say Devontae Parker.
It's a good question. Well, I don't think it's going to be 9-1 like you're thinking. I think it's close.
I disagree.
You don't even think it's close?
John Brown overtook him this past week.
Yeah, I was going to say, John Brown just like lit up fantasy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to be Devontae Parker.
And Devontae Parker had a nice, he had six catches for 90-some-odd or 100-some-odd yards this week.
I will say this. I think Devontae Parker is having a great year for them finally, but when it comes down to it, it's quarterbacks always get the nod.
Okay, I mean, if you want to say that.
Look, I'm sorry. If Devontae had like 60 catches for 900 yards and six touchdowns, okay, like I get it, but 44.
He's on pace for over 1,000.
I understand that, on pace, but like Ryan Fitzpatrick has done a good job at making this offense, which was terrible and anemic in the first couple games of the season. Devontae Parker was nowhere to be found.
What are you talking about?
Devontae Parker was nowhere to be found the first few weeks of the season.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. This team had 10 points. The touchdown was scored by Preston Williams.
Hold on. If you're going to say that, Ryan Fitzpatrick got benched, my man. He got benched.
Oh, come on. We know why.
Stop it now.
You were the one saying before the season that they were going to start Josh Rosen.
But at the same time.
Don't pretend like there's not politics involved.
But listen, at the same time, if you're going to make that argument.
We all know that Ryan Fitzpatrick outplayed. All of us here, all four of us know that Ryan Fitzpatrick outplayed Josh Rosen in the preseason.
But hold on.
You were the one who made that case.
Okay, but hold on. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, he looked awful the first two games against the Ravens and the Patriots. Awful.
Looking back on that now, it's not that bad. It's like that's not that terrible of a statement.
Listen,
but hold on.
Parker had three catches in the first two weeks. If you're going to sit up here, if you're going to go hard for Ryan Fitzpatrick, the man got benched, my man. Plain and simple. Devontae didn't get benched. Stop it, y'all, man. Get out of here, man. Let's go to break.
Yeah, he should have got benched with three catches in the first two games.
Vlad, let's go to break, man. I'm done with them, man.
Wow, look at this, man. Look
hold on. Why don't we do like a Twitter poll or something?
Okay.
All right, cool. I'll put it up on Twitter on the 790 The Ticket Twitter page.
You love polls.
Well, like, I think it's a good question. I think it's a good – I think it's going to be close. I think Rashad thinks it's going to be runaway. So, all right, I'll put it up on Twitter. Good conversation. That's why I love this roundtable, man. This should be the show right here, man.
It should be, man. Lynn, you hear this, Lynn?
I'm down.
Probably not.
Yeah, but we can't get the break on time.
We can temper that later in the future.
All right, we'll get back at some point, too. We got to get back into the Canes because we haven't really dissected that game, but I'm enjoying this conversation.
Man, bleep the Canes, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to break. Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte, Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, Vlad Louis-Sant. It's the Roundtable Show. I really like this idea.
I do too.
I really think that this is what we should do, but you guys are like the new me. Like you guys are, you know, you're working all over the place now. So
everywhere.
I have a little bit of...
No. You know who I am? Rashad Butler.
He's who nobody. I am.
Oh, God, man.
Get it right.
I'm doing talk that emoji your, right now with the roll.
Texas, let Zach know who I am.
Oh talk your God. Stuff, Rashad.
Rashad Butler.
Wow. Oh my God.
Get let it right, know. Son.
Oh. Get it right, son.
Get it right, son.
Sigh.
And that doesn't mean you're physically his son. That's just another son.
Thank you, Brian.
Just wow. So you know.
You guys really killed the whole vibe here.
No, you didn't kill the vibe. He just set you straight.
No, killed the vibe. All right, so real quick, are you guys filling in the next few days? Are you guys doing shifts here anywhere?
Yeah, I think Rashad and I are going to be all over 795,
6. I'm asking, like,
yeah,
fill
I
us
think
in.
I'm, okay, so I think I'm off tomorrow, at least. I mean, I never look at the schedule. I need to start doing a better
job. Oh, my
job.
God.
Well, okay, listen, only because our friend that was let go used to always text me when I was up next. Unfortunately, the new person, I don't know who that is, doesn't do that. So I guess I have to look at the schedule now.
That's actually Antoine.
Okay, so I guess I have to look. Well, okay, well, with that being said, I guess I have to look at the schedule now.
Yeah, you definitely have to.
But, I'm on the air Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm pretty sure sometime next week.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think you guys are filling in for the sister station.
When?
For,
yeah, we are.
For Big Joe and for the Joe Rose Show.
That's when? What we're doing. Thursday, Friday. We're
on yeah.
You are my competition.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
you know who's
going
to win that one, baby.
Oh, yeah,
come
hands
on.
Down. You already know.
You and Leroy versus us,
too. Well, I'm going to have to, like.
Are you with Leroy?
Yeah, man. I'm going to have to, like, finagle.
Can't wait to see Leroy,
finagle some airtime with Leroy, you know?
Oh, what's that?
You know how Leroy is, man.
What was that, three Ooh. Questions?
Oh, my
20-minute
goodness
segment?
Gracious.
Man.
Never have to worry about having enough content.
No. Nah, Leroy's going
to
go forever.
Yeah, I'll be on tomorrow with Amber from 10 to 2, and then I'll be on Thursday and Friday, 6 a.m. to 10. Here on 790, you two will be on 560, correct?
Yeah, tomorrow I'll be with Dono on 790 and 560 for the Hockman and Crowder.
Okay.
Then I'll be on Rashad on Thursday
Friday,
560, 6 a.m. to 10.
Correct, yeah.
Saturday pregame show, and then Sunday again with Rashad, 11 a.m. to
correct.
1 p.m. on
uh-huh.
790.
There you go. So some other information right now. Bill Walton is without a shirt on the TV. On the 790, the ticket Twitter page.
Be careful now.
Is the poll. It says the roundtable show, and I added all three of us, if you want to add us on Twitter, are asking Dolph fans who's the team MVP thus far. We only put two options.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Vote there. Some texts are rolling in here on the Kendall of Toyota and West Kendall of Toyota text line. Let's read some of these texts. Fitzpatrick airs it out. He brought the best out of Parker. Another person says it's a good poll. Another person said one Parker, two Fitz, three Gesicki.
Mikey.
I don't think Gesicki.
Gesicki?
Yeah.
Hold
yeah.
It. Hell no. Nah.
Yeah. Well, look, I think he's done a good job.
True.
Baker,
I agree.
I don't think he's. I think it's 1-2.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's 1-2.
It is.
That's why I think it's a good poll, because I think
yeah,
it's close.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like 90% to 10.
Balazs, too. I'm just joking.
I disagree with Devontae Parker's offensive team MVP. I think it's the long snapper and the punter.
Okay, I get this.
They're more. They're considered defense, though.
I get the joke. They are.
Well,
there you go.
Just so you know.
Uh-huh. They are.
Let's see. Poll question for the show. Does anybody in the Heat franchise know who the hell Zach and he works for the station? Question mark.
They were trying to make fun of the fact that.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. I mean, that joke's like an hour too late.
To answer that poll, I would say probably nobody does.
No. You got no poll, man. It's all right, though.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not gonna fight them.
You live.
somebody else texts in, at the end of the day, that's Rashad Butler.
Thank you.
Because Rashad says at the end of the day.
Yes. I like it.
67974 if you want to get in as well. Yeah, so what are Devontae's numbers here? On the season, he's got
46 catches, I believe 685 yards.
And four touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to set career highs on all numbers. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he had a really good year.
He got over 1,000 yards.
I was having this conversation. Yeah, I mean, he's got, what, we got five games left. He's got to get, what, 70 yards a game or 60 yards a game? He'll get
just
it.
Just about, yeah.
With Devontae, because I was talking about the wide receiving core this week with Troy Stradford. A few weeks ago, you thought this was like a really stable wide receiver core. And when we had Adam Beasley on, who's the all-know, all-seeing eye of the Miami Dolphins, as you referenced earlier. He said the Dolphins need to address wide receiver, and I agree with him now because
I disagree.
Well, let's lay the cards on the table. Jakeem Grant can't stay healthy, and
true.
Was virtually unreliable this season, except for two games, maybe.
Mm-hmm. True,
and he's a four at best.
I'm over Albert Wilson at $9.5 million next year.
Okay, that's fair.
So Preston Williams is coming off an ACL injury.
Okay,
Devontae is. I trust. I don't know if he's a one.
Extend him.
What?
Well, they have him for another year.
I'll extend him.
I think.
What?
Do they have him? I think they have him
for
another year.
Yeah.
They already have him for. They already have him at another year. So
okay.
I want to see it again.
Okay. That's true. But
I think he's
done
a great.
I would extend him.
I think he's done a great job. Let me see it again.
Uh-huh.
Let me see it again.
Extend what?
Him. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Extend
man,
him.
You better be able to do that two
he's
years.
He's really high on Devontae Parker.
You better be able to
extend
do that 2 years in a row.
Extend him, man.
Get out of here. You ain't getting no more money right now.
Now listen, when I say extend, I don't want you guys to think I'm talking about 5 year. Like, no, I'm talking about maybe like a 3 year.
No.
Extend him.
Hell no.
Yeah.
You're going into next year and you're going to prove it. You want some more
okay.
money?
That's listen.
Prove it.
Yeah,
listen,
I like that.
That's
you,
true,
you
but that's
half,
not me.
You got a half year. Go ahead. I got your rights anyways.
I hear you. Okay.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
I hear you. But that's you. That's this is me.
And then
the
other wide receivers, Alan Hearns, who I did not understand that contract extension.
It made sense.
Well,
it's cheap.
And then
he's a slot.
And then the game after they extend him has a huge fumble and a huge drop. And the whole thing was, oh, he's super reliable, dependable. The Dolphins' margin of error is one turnover.
Right now,
one turnover, they lose. Like that is it.
Okay, but listen. Now let me make sense of this. To me. The reason why they extended Allen Hurns is because like Brian said, it's a cheap deal. But if you look at his percentage of snaps, it's high.
I think it's high now okay. because Preston Williams is out.
Okay, but yeah. last game, he got 90%. So to me, that lets me know moving forward that they look at him as their slot guy moving forward, a guy that is very dependable, a guy that knows every route mm-hmm. in the route tree. Almost like
– But I'm not debating okay, on okay, Hurts, by now, the way. Now, I just want you to know.
Now, again, I'm not trying to compare him to this guy, but I think for them in that system coming from the Patriots, they look at him like a Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. a guy that can, you know, get open and understands what the quarterback wants. Now, I believe, yes, they have to address in the draft the receiver position, but I don't think they have to address it at, let's say, second round or third round.
This receiver class is deep. You can get a really quality receiver in the third round.
They might be, and again, and free agency. $120 million.
And free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, but you think about it. You look at DeVonte Parker. This would be his highest of everything.
But look at this right now. This receiving group, to me, it's promising. Now, I don't believe Albert Wilson is going to be here next year. Jakeen Grant?
Because I don't think he comes back.
Because that contract they can get out of.
Yeah.
But if you look at Preston Williams, DeVonte Parker, and Allen Hurns, mm-hmm. to me that's pretty impressive right now for this team. That's pretty impressive.
But there's a lot of question marks there, though.
That's a whole bunch of question marks. Yeah. You got two guys that are one coming off injuries both years.
Okay.
Preston Williams coming off injury. Allen Hurns, concussion, then had the bad injury last year. And finally, DeVonte Parker woke up. Does that mean he comes and gets another step next year?
Okay, so what you guys are saying is that you guys believe that this whole entire room needs to be rebuilt.
No.
I just want you to go get another big-time receiver. Give me one other dude.
Nah, like a big-time? No.
Whether that's a third-round pick that turns into a nice receiver or you go get me a free agent, that's not going to cost you a boatload because what's the receiver market right now?
I think that's where they're going to – 18? They need quarterback, left tackle, right tackle, running back. They need another tight end. They need two defensive ends. They need another defensive tackle. With all due respect, I don't really care about any of the linebackers. Okay. I don't think – like, the whole preseason, Sam McGlavin, Jerome Baker. Like, all I see Jerome Baker is get 13 tackles a game, zero for loss.
I hear you.
You know, and there's a bunch of question marks in the secondary right now. So, literally, every position needs to be addressed. So, I don't know if I'm spending a draft pick on a wide receiver, maybe a sixth or a seventh.
I would say a fourth.
Get a $6 million a year wide receiver, whatever. Get somebody – because I thought – my whole point is I thought that was a position of stability a few weeks ago. Now I'm like, I can't bring back Albert Wilson. I can't bring back Jakeem Grant anymore.
But honestly, I think it still is because I like DeVonte Parker.
Well, if they have one, it's wide receiver.
Listen, I like DeVonte Parker with Preston Williams, and I like Allen Hurns because I think they got Allen Hurns for cheap. I do think if they bring in another receiver, I think it's going to be another receiver at cheap as well too. I don't think they're going to go out and spend – the big money at receiver because I really believe that they believe now in DeVonte Parker and they like the upside of Preston Williams.
Yeah,
that's just my thought process.
I'd be interested to see DeVonte and Preston be the 1-2 next year as
Correct.
Well. But both of those guys have durability issues.
True, they do.
So you need to have either a late round draft and they did a great job in finding Preston. Maybe they find another guy like that.
Uh-huh.
Or find somebody in free agency because I'm over Albert Wilson. And at a $9.5 million, you got to go.
No,
I hear you.
Go.
That's fair.
And Jakeem Grant, I like Jakeem Grant. I like his story.
It's a toss-up.
But
like, it's a toss-up.
It's unreliable.
No, I hear you.
And like, I remember early in the season, huge drops, man.
Yeah.
Huge drops. So, I mean, maybe you bring him back as the fifth receiver and the kick returner. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought that was their position of strength. And now I'm like, okay, that's probably a position they need to address. Let's get into the Canes.
Okay.
Because we're gonna hear again from Beasley in the 9 o'clock hour as well. So it was a good interview. I want to replay that, but I want to get your guys' opinion on the Canes. Where do they go from here? And how do you feel about Manny Diaz? Because my take on the coaching staff has altered a little bit, and rightly so.
Okay.
After one of the worst losses in program history, the roundtable. We'll talk about the Canes next year on 790 The Ticket. Whoa. Got Brian Monroe over here dancing.
Set it off.
We need some cameras in here, man.
I don't know if we do.
We do.
That might get us in trouble.
I'm all for
you
that,
You know
man.
What that means?
We were just talking about HR. That might have to make a visit her. I don't know if I want that.
on the 790 ticket Twitter page. I got to get that right, man. I keep messing that up. We got our poll for the show. I put it up for 24 hours, so we'll see what kind of response it gets. Rashad and I and Brian are asking Dolph fans who they think the team MVP is thus far through the season. We've got 38 votes so far. We got 63% for Devontae Parker, 37% for Ryan Fitzpatrick. So feel free to vote on the poll. Take part in it. Plus, you got Brian Monroe and Rashad's Twitter tag, so follow them as well and hit them up because you're going to be listening to them a lot throughout not only Thanksgiving, then you got Christmas and New Year's, and trust me, ain't nobody coming to work then.
And neither am I because I ain't working on Christmas. Nope. I already told them I'm working Thanksgiving. Peace.
I'm working Christmas.
No.
Well, you want to know something funny? So I played on both days before Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I'll say this. Christmas was my least favorite to play on. See, Thanksgiving, believe it or not,
it's kind of like
a lot of players enjoy playing on Thanksgiving because it's just, you know, everyone gets – like, it's a chance that everyone sees you because you know everyone's going to be in front of the TV.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Christmas is just – it's like it's weird, like, waking up Christmas morning and kind of going through, like, a pregame meal.
When did you do Christmas?
College? No, I
oh,
did
no,
it.
No, no, no. It fell on. It might have fallen. Christmas might have fallen on a Sunday.
It did.
Yeah, every like seven or eight years. It
yeah,
falls
it did.
On a Sunday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it did one year. And
so
it's funny.
They did no basketball
well,
that day.
Well,
I'm guessing.
Well, it's
no,
funny.
They did.
No,
they
it,
still do it.
No, listen. It, listen. That year they did like this. A lot of teams played on Saturday.
That's. I was gonna say that's what they do, and then they had two or three games on Sunday.
Correct. Yeah. And it sucked because we were like that team where like two or three teams played on Sunday, and it was
and
like yeah, we were them. Yeah.
Dang.
Yep.
Yep. That happens, man. That happens. So Miami Hurricanes, obviously we touched on this in the beginning of the show. We all heard what Manny had to say after the game and what Manny had to say yesterday. I just, you know, what your guys' thoughts on before I get, you know, just what Manny had to say and kind of, I'm going to say I feel like he passed the buck in terms of the blame as to what's going on with this program right now.
See, to me, I was looking forward or hoping that he would say, listen, as a coaching staff, we got outcoached, and as players, we got outplayed, and that's on me as a head coach to make sure that our coaches are prepared and to make sure that our players are prepared as well, too. And to me, I just felt like if he would have said that, I would have said, you know what, Manny? I give you a standing ovation because as a head coach, you're supposed to take the blame no matter what. But what he did say, I agree, Zach. I felt like he was kind of ducking and dodging and kind of like – maybe placing blame on other players. It's like, listen, you can place blame on those areas. And, yes, those areas do deserve the blame. But at the end of the day, the team is only a reflection of you as a head coach.
You know, with me, it's always confusing. It's like, okay, he comes out and says something, and it's like, okay, cool, yeah, he took the blame or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Then he completely says the total opposite in a different sentence, literally three sentences later, because – you know, the thing that bothers me most is that you're talking about a coach that has preached that, yeah, we know we've been bad off bye weeks, so we're going to go ahead and change it up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's three bye weeks in a row and being outscored in the first quarter 46-3. Okay? That means you didn't learn from whatever you made the mistake before. Number two, the cocky and arrogance comment. How are you – in the beginning of the season, we talked about this. They beat Bethune-Cookman, we're 1-2.
Uh-huh.
Then they went into Central Michigan, and the excuse was – we got cocky and arrogant. You got cocky and arrogant from beating Bethune-Cookman?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And then the comment with the culture?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have a culture around here that we need to change. Excuse me. Were you not here when that culture change started?
Yeah.
Did you not bring in the turnover chain? Did you not ride on the yacht?
Well, like Zaslow said today, was there a culture problem when they were 10-0?
No.
So – So then that was established in the last 2 years? The last year?
The thing is this, is that that's the thing that I did not like about the culture thing. You're the one that said in front of all the people, you either come to Miami and get your ass kicked by Miami or you go somewhere else. That culture, that's from you. The chain, you created. The touchdown rings that I hated from the beginning, you brought in.
Correct.
I hate it too.
And listen, and you're right, because when it comes to the culture of any team in any sport, that culture all the way starts with the head coach.
It does.
Plain and simple. And I think Manny has to realize that. Like, listen, if you have a culture problem and if you want change, then that starts on you.
Yeah.
That starts on you.
I expect this offseason for him to start with him to go ahead and do what he has to do with the last two coaching staffs, couldn't, two head coaches, mm-hmm. couldn't get rid of family members and couldn't get rid of friends.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to be the real CEO of a big-time football program and you see that these coaches aren't working in certain areas, mm-hmm. you're going to take the axe out and chop mm-hmm. them down.
In your guys' opinion, be more specific with that statement. What are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
I think the defensive coordinator needs to go. I think you take over coordinating duties next year and call plays, or you go actually get an experience coordinator that's done it at a high level. I personally would not change Enos because we've seen when he's played top competitions, his offense has worked, and it would suck for a young quarterback again to bring mm-hmm. in another coordinator and learn another system. So I wouldn't change that. But defensively, I think there needs to be a change there.
I'm going to say this.
And special teams, my bad.
First and foremost, I think Manny needs to sit down with both his coordinators, and they need to figure out what type of kids do they need to recruit that fit what they want to do both offensively and defensively. I'm not really like Brian. I wouldn't get rid of Blake Baker, but hear me out. I just feel like Manny needs to sit down with both and say, listen, what type of kids do we need as far as characteristics on the field and off the field for this program to be successful, but for each of your schemes offensively and defensively to be great? And when I say that, you don't have to go out and get the 5 or 4-star recruits, because there was a guy by the name of Ed Reed who was a 2-star recruit, 1-2, but he fit what Miami wanted to do on defense. And I feel like Miami defensively, they need to get back to playing press man on the outside. I feel like go recruit kids that can play bump and run. Get up in the receiver's face, jam them, and run with them. Pretty much what New England does. Just play man free. Because you have studs up front. You have Greg Rousseau who can get to the passer. So you're not asking those guys on the edges to defend forever. And I think offensively up front, we need to go back to being just a little bit smaller and more athletic.
Let me ask this before we go to break. And they, I want to give a lot of credit uh-huh. to Zaslow and Amherst. They had uh-huh. a lot of good conversations today about, and I was listening to their show,
uh-huh.
and that's where I'm feeding off of it. Is, uh-huh. And I think I agree with them, and that doesn't mean I want. Okay. I think that they should get rid of Manny Diaz because uh-huh. you know I've had the coaches back all year, uh-huh. but what Brian referenced, like that, the culture, you brought in the touchdown rings, you were showing up on a yacht.
Okay, real quick, I don't know what they said.
I'm going to get to it. But I'm setting up the argument for it. Is I've had the coaching staffs back the entire season,
uh-huh.
but I thought that was a colossal loss. Like that, there's no recovery from that this season whatsoever.
Okay,
obviously they can overcome it in the next year or uh-huh. two, but right now it looks like Manny Diaz isn't over his head.
You know what?
And they brought the point of this is not somewhere to be a first-time head coach.
Okay, but let me ask you this real quick. And I hate to compare apples to oranges, but in a way I'm going to do that. You do know that LSU a few years ago lost to Troy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ogeron.
Yeah, but then the next year they still weren't good. Matt Canada was their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they got this guy, Joe Brady. So
true.
You could say, oh, for every Joe Brady, there's 10
true.
Matt Canadas.
Very true. So I guess the reason why I say that is I'm not going to have a knee-jerk reaction like a lot of fans and like a lot of people in the market are having. I just feel like in order to get this right, it's going to take time. But at the same time, you have to get back to the basics. And the basics is just finding and recruiting kids that fit exactly what you want to do.
Here's my thing. What do they want to do?
Well,
like
again,
they have no identity with this team.
Well, to me, that's why Manny Diaz, he has to sit down with both coordinators and really figure that out. And once they figure that out, then put a plan together and move forward.
Yeah, because right now this team has no identity. We said this the whole year. Like, uh-huh. What are the Miami Hurricanes?
But again, I know when we were successful, we had corners that can play press man, and we had defensive linemen that can get after the passer. Up front, offensively, we had offensive linemen like myself that was slim, Eric Winston that can move.
Yeah, you know, he came in as a tight end and put on some weight.
Exactly.
Athletic.
So I just feel like Miami and Manny Diaz, they need to go back to the basics and look what made Miami great back then, because I feel like that has some carryover. Now, I know offenses have changed immensely because no one's running the I formation like we ran a lot of. But at the same time, I feel like there can be a lot of carryover from those glory days to now.
But see, then that's the comment that he made, too, when uh-huh. he was talking about the old Miami.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with them. They uh-huh. keep trying to bring up the old Miami. Listen, by the way, I haven't been the old Miami in 15 years.
Correct.
Okay, like this whole thing about this arrogance, we get a little bit of we get a little success and we feed off of it.
Uh-huh.
By the way, starting 0-2, there is no success in the season.
True.
You started 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
You should be pissed off the whole year.
Correct.
Like that thing. That's the thing I don't get about this whole we're arrogant.
Uh-huh.
Arrogant from what? Barely beating Central Michigan and beat Bethune-Cookman. Y'all mm-hmm. get arrogant going into that game.
Yeah.
Then getting embarrassed against Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. There should be no arrogance with this team.
Yeah.
You should be pissed off the whole year. Like the seniors that came back for a quote-unquote successful
True.
Season, you shouldn't be happy.
I agree.
You should be pissed off. There should be no, hey, we need to get motivated for FIU. You played half these guys. They want to beat you. This yeah. is their Super Bowl. You have to go out there, hit them in the mouth, and show them why you went to Miami mm-hmm. and they went to FIU. I'm confused.
And listen, at the same time, too, and I think when it comes to identifying and looking at kids, you really have to understand – that off-the-field characteristics, you need guys now to come in this building that want to eat, sleep, and you-know-what football. And
yeah.
I feel like we don't have those guys anymore. And, again, I don't know if that's the blame as far as the landscape of high school football now where kids, like, you know, we live in this social media Instagram era. But I feel like we need to find kids that want to play football 24/7.
I mean, I can't agree with that because if you look at Alabama's, the Clemson's, Ohio State of the world, they got those kids.
Yeah.
They got the kids that want to eat, sleep, and be uh-huh. successful. We yeah. got the kids that want to put the U in the helmet and be like, all right, we're the U like back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We made it. No. Yeah. Get back in the film room. You threw 6 touchdowns. What are you going to do next game yeah. to make you better than you were? Oh, you set a record. What'd you do next?
Facts.
Threw 3 interceptions. That's it.
Just for reference, by the way, yes, LSU did lose to Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they beat Florida and Auburn back-to-back after that. The Miami okay. Hurricanes have no chance to redeem themselves this season. Like,
okay.
it's over. That's as much of a gut punch loss as it gets.
No, we're going to play Alabama in the Orange Bowl, man. They got this.
Oh, my God. All right, we'll get your headlines on the other side. Potentially get back into this or potentially the Miami Heat as well. Rashad Butler, Brian Monroe, Vlad Lousant, myself, Zach Duarte, the Roundtable here on 790 The Ticket.